Welcome to Government Policy Unpacked, the podcast for proactive citizens where we break down the most pressing government policy issues so you can finally understand what's going on, be a part of the solution, and hold your government leaders accountable. Hey, I'm Rupesh Patel, and thanks for joining me. Today we're exploring a hot topic as Donald Trump is about to be sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Will the Trump tariffs work? In this episode, you will understand the history of Trump's tariffs, learn whether or not they brought back manufacturing jobs to America, explore the broader economic consequences, and compare them to policies under President Obama and President Biden. By the end of this episode, you'll have a clear picture of whether tariffs are the right tool for Americans and their economy, and whether or not you should be prepared for any potential consequences. Let's unpack this. Trump seems to love using tariffs. They're one of Trump's favorite tools when it comes to economic policy. In his episode with Joe Rogan, which I encourage you to watch or listen to if you haven't already, it's 3 hours, but you kind of hear him weave through his thoughts a little bit more clearly. Something about what Joe Rogan did kind of put him at ease. I think Trump realized that it was a big moment, and people definitely say that that podcast probably contributed to his victory, especially with young white males. But in that episode, Trump says that to him, the most beautiful word is tariff, and that America could become rich with its proper use. If you look back during his previous presidency, they were an instrumental part of his agenda, where it was aimed at reshaping how countries trade with the U.S. in order to bring back manufacturing jobs to America. But as Trump gears up to have those tariffs once again, and this time 25% against Canada and Mexico, like broad tariffs, nothing selective here, an additional 10% against China, it's worth asking, did they work last time? So let's start with the basics. In 2018, then-President Donald Trump introduced tariffs on hundreds of billions of dollars of imports, particularly targeting Chinese goods. These were taxes on products brought into the U.S. with the idea of making those goods more expensive so that it would encourage domestic production and bring jobs back to American soil. So you saw things like industries on like steel, aluminum, manufacturing were really at the center of these tariffs. The Trump's administration at the time argued that decades of outsourcing and reliance on cheaper imports had hollowed out America's industrial base, and tariffs were necessary to level the playing field. So maybe it's helpful to explain what tariffs are and exactly how they work. So tariffs are essentially taxes that governments impose on imported goods. When a tariff is applied, it raises the cost of those goods as they enter the importing country. There's usually importers, they bring them in. They're probably not going to absorb those costs, so they're going to pass them down to consumers. So this can have several different effects. It probably will discourage imports. If you have higher prices, which makes those goods less competitive compared to domestically produced items, encourages consumers and businesses to buy local. Doesn't sound like a bad thing. So for example, if a piece of furniture such as a chair came to the US from China and it costs about $200, a Trump tariff of 10% would make that chair $220. In theory, if you're a consumer and you had to weigh the American chair versus the Chinese chair, that American-made chair looks a little bit more attractive if it's particularly if it costs less than the Chinese one. The other effect that tariffs have is that these are taxes and this is revenue that goes to the government, which could be used for public spending. And this could be a lot, especially for the United States. The U.S. is the largest importer of goods in the world with nearly $3.2 trillion as of, at least in 2022. And so if you just add 10% tariff across the board, and that would bring in about $320 billion, which would fund nearly a third of their national defense expenditures. That's probably another topic for another day as far as their national defense budget being almost $1 trillion, but nevertheless, it would be a big chunk that those tariffs would fund. The other effect is that you're going to get a risk of retaliation. Right, the United States puts a tariff on China or Canada or Mexico, you're probably going to have that country respond in kind and creating a bit of a trade war. And this happened. So let's consider a real world example. the trade dynamics between the US and Canada. Both these are the largest trading partners for both countries. In 2018, Trump imposed a 25% tariff on Canadian steel and a 10% tariff on aluminum under the guise of protecting US national security. Canada responded with retaliatory tariffs on US goods, including whiskey, ketchup, and steel products. Whiskey was interesting because I'm pretty sure that was from largely resides in Louisiana, Kentucky, and sorry, more so Kentucky, and that's where the Senate Majority Leader at the time, Mitch McConnell, was. So there's a little bit of particular political gamesmanship there. The result of these tariffs, for example, while U.S. steelmakers, for instance, benefited initially, industries that relied on imported steel, such as construction and automotive manufacturing, they faced higher costs. Meanwhile, Canadian producers probably sought alternative markets, or they would have to also absorb the losses. So it really highlights how tariffs can have ripple effects beyond just what their immediate target is trying to be. So as I mentioned, one presumed benefit to having tariffs is that they could boost your domestic manufacturing. So let's focus a bit there, because that's really one of the big arguments that Trump has made in the past, even though like some of this stuff is around national security, but it's really, some of it's really trying to get back, reshore those American jobs. So to understand Trump's tariffs, though, it might be good to think about what he inherited. So during the Obama administration, the U.S. manufacturing sector showed some signs of recovery. There was the Great Recession of 2008, as folks should remember. But if you look at really between his 2009 to 2016, which is Obama's term, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the country added about 1.15 million manufacturing jobs. And this was largely due, if you remember, the auto industry bailout, where the government intervened and saved millions of jobs there. Shortly following the Great Recession in 2008, there were programs like the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act, which boosted demand and supported infrastructure projects, indirectly helping manufacturing. There's also this energy boom. In the Dakotas, the U.S. shale revolution reduced energy costs for manufacturers, and it made domestic production more competitive globally. So that's great. Now, it is important to note that while these gains marked a recovery, they didn't restore the millions of jobs that have been lost in the U.S. since the late 20th century. So let's take a look at some key events that happened. One in particular, a key event that really hurt U.S. manufacturing was China's entry into the World Trade Organization in 2001. This marked a turning point for global trade and had a profound impact on the U.S. economy. And if you don't know what the World Trade Organization or the WTO is, it really is an organization that manages the global rules on trade and also provides a place for members to resolve any trade disputes. China's integration into the WTO gave it greater access to global markets, so it significantly increased their exports. For the US, that meant you got a flood of cheaper Chinese goods entering the market, which pressured domestic manufacturers to either lower their costs or shut down. Over the next two decades, the U.S. lost millions of manufacturing jobs, particularly in industries like textiles, electronics, and machinery. If you look at the numbers in 1990, for instance, the U.S. manufacturing sector was adding about 17,000 jobs per month, whereas by 2008, it was around 13,000 jobs per month, so quite the dip. So consumers, yes, benefit from those cheaper goods, but there's definitely this also trade-off, the economic fallout in these manufacturing-dependent regions. People often call it the China shock, which led to this sort of economic dislocation and the political upheaval that you're seeing in some of like the Rust Belt states, for instance. So understanding this context really probably explains why Trump's tariffs resonated with so many voters back in 2016 and likely now again during the 2024 election, given that he won those Rust Belt states. These are probably folks who feel left behind by globalization. Okay, so back to Trump and his first term after the Obama presidency. So Obama, you know, had a good track record there, 1.15 million manufacturing jobs. Trump took office, manufacturing employment continued to grow. Between 2017 and 2019, approximately 450,000 manufacturing jobs were added. So it's great. I mean, it builds off the continuing trend of Obama. They had about the same monthly job growth manufacturing job growth rate there. Then came 2020, the COVID-19 pandemic triggered this massive economic disruption with the manufacturing sector shedding thousands of jobs. As of 2024, that employment has yet to recover from its pre-pandemic peak. So how did tariffs help in all these in this situation? Let's dig deeper into that. So as we know, the goal of Trump's tariffs was to boost domestic production by making those foreign goods more expensive. And there were some successes. The U.S. steel industry initially benefited, as I mentioned. Production rose there, and some shuttered mills actually reopened. A handful of companies actually reshored some of their production, so they chose to bring jobs back to the U.S. However, when you look at the broader picture, it's a little bit more complex. Instead of manufacturers coming back to the U.S., many of them actually shifted their production from China to other low-cost countries like Vietnam or Mexico, instead of bringing those jobs back to the U.S. For industries that are dependent on the global supply chains, reshoring production entirely proves costly and impractical. On the downside, the tariffs also increase costs for U.S. businesses reliant on imported materials like steel and aluminum. For example, automakers and appliance manufacturers faced higher prices for raw materials, limiting their ability to hire or expand. A study that was done by the Federal Reserve found that overall impact of the tariffs on U.S. manufacturing employment was negligible, with gains in some sectors offset by losses in others. The tariffs also had significant consequences on consumer prices just for the everyday consumer. According to the Harvard Business Review, the increased cost of imported goods, particularly from China, contributed to higher prices for U.S. consumers across a wide range of products, from electronics to clothing. Notably, these tariffs did little to reduce the overall volume of imports from China. American farmers also really felt the sting. Retaliatory tariffs from China and other nations targeted American farm products. We talked about the whiskey, the ketchup, which led to sharp drops in exports. Soybean farmers in particular faced substantial losses, which really forced Trump's administration to support farmers with bailouts to mitigate that damage. When I scanned the media, it looks like farmers are anxious again with Trump's upcoming tariffs. So I guess we'll see what the response will be this time to support them. I want to continue just examining the different strategies between the different administrations of what they took. That's probably the government nerd in me here. But let's see how those strategies were different. So Obama's strategy, really, when it comes to manufacturing, really focused on had to recover from the recession, emphasized long-term clean investments in clean energy, infrastructure, skills training, even recognizing that perhaps we need to attract those higher paying jobs and those skills of manufacturing from the past maybe weren't as needed. Remember something, there was something called a Trans-Pacific Partnership. That was such a political thing, TPP. That was Obama's attempt at being a part of the Asia-Pacific trade deal that could then level the playing field with China and ensure America was at the table. So instead of just China writing the rules with all its Pacific partners, America wanted to be at the table so it could help rewrite the rules and maybe have a more fair trading across the board. Trump's strategy has been different. He's really been focusing on these tariffs, right? He didn't want anything to do with TPP. And so his stance was more aggressive, more short-term approach with tariffs in hope of reshaping those trade dynamics and encouraging this sort of immediate job creation. Interestingly, Biden has also continued some of the Trump tariffs on China, albeit a little bit more selective, and I'll talk a little bit about that shortly. He also put in policies like the CHIPS Act and the Inflation Reduction Act, so major investments that were in hopes of fostering domestic production in key industries like semiconductors and renewable energy. And according to Forbes, Biden's initiatives have actually sparked a surge in factory building, with billions of dollars of investments pouring into new manufacturing facilities. Questions remain, though, like whether this will translate into a jobs boom. We know that automation is a threat for sure on the everyday worker, so I guess time will tell. Just for a comparison, though, if you want to know some numbers, Obama, by the end of his term, was adding about 12,300 jobs per month. Trump was about 12,800 before COVID, and Biden's now close to 13,000. For Americans, that's great. It's great to see manufacturing jobs gradually increasing. It is a lot less, though, from the 18,000 jobs per month back in 1990. So it just goes to show how hard it is to get manufacturing jobs back to the U.S. and even to Canada. I was curious, though, like if we were seeing this gradual manufacturing job growth, why are the American workers feeling the pain of inflation? Especially since between 2021 and 2024, manufacturing wages have risen significantly with increases of about 15%. But inflation has also risen, and to some degree risen a lot higher than those real wage increases. And so this is not good. That earned dollar is just not going as far. So, I mean, bringing back jobs, super important for sure. But when folks are working hard and they feel like they have little to show for it, hearing politicians say that things are getting better probably means very little. All right, one last thing before I close this episode out, and that is the use of selective tariffs rather than broad-based ones. Could they offer a better solution? According to the Peterson Institute for International Economics, targeted tariffs can be effective if they're designed to address specific economic issues, such as dumping or unfair trade practices without causing widespread disruptions. So a well-designed tariff could protect like a critical industry, like semiconductors or renewable energy. That's kind of what you're seeing with Biden's approach, while minimizing costs to consumers and downstream industries. So instead of putting a blanket tariff, we want to be very targeted and focus on a specific product or sector that will actually tip the scale in your favor. So that's a possibility that someone could take. All right, final thoughts in closing out. So let's think about, did Donald Trump's tariffs work and will they work this time? So it really depends on the intent of those tariffs. If the intent is to bring back manufacturing jobs to America, then the results are mixed. And higher prices for consumers is a real possibility this time around, as they were seen last time when he was a president. For a manufacturer to reshore their operations back to America, there are many factors that go into that decision. It is not easy. We saw so many efforts from Obama to Trump to Biden, and still not going to get to that number from when before China joined the World Trade Organization. But one big factor is policy certainty. So if you're a manufacturer, you might be asking yourself, how long will these tariffs be in place? After Trump leaves office, will the next president actually keep them? And I really think the chances of long-term broad tariffs are unlikely, especially as the pressure on consumer prices will be too much. Most politicians also generally want to reduce trade barriers. If, however, the tariffs are selective to a particular sector, then there might be a long-term appetite to reshore manufacturing. For example, China is the largest producer of EVs, electric vehicles. The cost of their EVs can be half as much as American-made ones. The tech is good, and from what I hear, the build quality is good, particularly when you're talking about the world's largest EV automaker, which isn't Tesla, it's BYD. Then maybe there's some validity to having a select tariff. And that's what Joe Biden and Justin Trudeau have done. They've put high tariffs on Chinese EVs in order of 100%. The policy goal here is to protect the North American auto industry. Probably gives it a chance to also really compete, bring down their costs before, you know, there's even more efficiency gains made on Chinese EVs, and consumers just won't be able to resist those Chinese EVs. And by the way, I should have mentioned too that when you put this broad tariff on, let's talk about the auto industry in particular. The auto industry is so integrated across North America that every time, you know, parts cross borders, or every time that happens, there's this charge. So who knows how much that accumulates to, but that could be a significant price increase on vehicles or any other product where things are traveling between the US, Canada, and Mexico. So that's something to keep in mind. So it has to be designed really, really well so that you don't have these cumulative effects of the tariffs, because that just becomes unwieldy. For the Trump tariffs this time around, most people think, though, that the incoming, that he's really trying to use them as a negotiation tactic for other objectives. Again, probably around the national security thing, border security, addressing immigration. And he nevertheless, he's definitely gotten the attention of the Canadians, Mexicans, and Chinese. Broad tariffs are a steep price to pay for American consumers, but they're probably bigger for its trading partners. America is the largest importer of goods, and every country wants access to that U.S. market, and none of them want a trading disadvantage by being subject to tariffs. For Canada, for instance, the economic impact would be real, and I'm going to touch on that in the future episode. So, what do you think? Did tariffs achieve their goals, or are there better ways to support American workers? That's the end of this episode. Thanks so much for tuning in to Government Policy Unpacked. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. I'd really appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Rupesh, helping you make sense of these complex government issues, one topic at a time. Cheers.